January 14th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 20.
Wakey, wakey, hands off, snakey.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, back here in Mulberry. Believe it or not, it is episode 20, a milestone achievement for us here in Mulberry, because you've got us in the same place for 20 weeks in a row. Unbelievable. Am I right, Steven?
It's incredible, man.
Steven, the pop culture zealot, is with me. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm doing fine today.
Having a good week. All the holidays and all that crap are behind
us. All behind us.
You don't have to worry about buying gifts for people that you don't even care about.
I didn't worry about that to begin with.
Well, it's good to have you here with us, Steven, on this very special show. Also here is our favorite Mulberry historian. That is Mulberry Bill. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Now, Bill is all moved back into his old place. He's got all of his books in place in the library. How's all that going?
It's slow, but it's going well.
You adding any new features to the historical library?
Yeah, I'm adding some new zombie-proof modifications. Just so never happens again.
Right, motion-sensored guns that aim for the brain pan, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is awesome. Now, you know what I've always wanted, you know, in this futuristic setup with different things, is Star Trek always had it right, was just a food machine that you say what you want and it gives it to you. How sweet would it be, like, if you're like Big Mac fries and it's like, bling! That's like awesome! I could live in any underground facility away from zombies as long as I had that machine, you know?
That would be too dangerous for me. I would
Earl Grey tea, hot. Am I right?
I would turn into the fat man from The Meaning of Life.
Hey, it wouldn't matter, man. There's zombies outside. Just load up. Who cares if you let yourself go? And if you die, hey, it's better than being a zombie, you know? Now, also here we have in Mulberry is our newswoman, Vanessa. How's it going, Vanessa?
It's going well.
Now, it's been a shaky road on up to episode 20, but I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I hope you guys have too. You're not just doing this because you owe me favors, is that right?
I'm doing it because I owe you favors.
Bill, you're enjoying yourself, right?
No comment.
Oh, dear.
No, it's great. I wouldn't be here.
Really?
Right, I mean, I love talking about our favorite things, and that is movie, TV, DVD, things that matter in life, not hunger and poverty and politics and
all that. Third world nations.
Yeah, we care about TV, all right? Thank you very much.
Me generation. I care about entertaining me.
All right, and one thing I want to talk about is last week's show, episode 19, was poor sound quality. I don't know what happened. I think Foggy had the sound levels way too high. Like, he mixed everything just too bright, and there was distortion. And I want to apologize to all our listeners, especially those who go jogging or jazzercising while listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. It probably was disorienting. You probably ran into a pole or something, or tripped, stepped in doggy duty, something
I'm
like
sure,
that.
I'm sure, because all of our listeners are regular exercisers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
because what else would you rather do other than watch TV and movies and listen to a podcast?
People who are very fit listen to our show. You know, they have good heart rate and all that stuff. But I want to apologize for that, and hopefully we worked out the sound this time after pummeling Foggy mercilessly. Sorry about that, Foggy. Now, guys, we were reviewed by another podcast, and this podcast is called The Podcast Reviewer. It's a guy named Bob, Bob the Podcast Reviewer, and he likes to review other podcasts, and he tells you what he thinks of them. His tagline is, he listens to the crap so you don't have to. And he listened to our show, Nowhere in Mulberry, and he said some nice things about it. And everything he said was really nice. It was cool. He recommended to subscribe to our show, especially people who like pop culture, you know, TV, movies, just like we do. Except he had a problem with one person on our show, and I'll just let you guys hear this clip. Let's listen to it.
The name of this podcast is Nowhere in Mulberry. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is not your daddy's Mayberry. If you guys are here to find out about Andy Griffith and Barney Fife, this is not the place to go. However, if you guys really want to know about current events and pop culture, I definitely think about downloading this one or even subscribing to it. These guys are actually pretty entertaining. They talk about current events and they interject their little comments and stuff like that to it. I hope they don't take this the wrong way, but you guys will understand what I'm talking about if you download any of their past episodes. I just want to break Foggy's frickin' fingers.
Hey.
He's got to interject something with his little soundboard stuff. And, you know, it's kind of cool the first 10 times.
Foggy's got to play his clip.
40, 50 times of this, you know, no, I don't want it. Or, you know, some other comment that's usually put in at the wrong time and over somebody else's talking when they're trying to make, you know, the banter between back and forth.
All right,
you
Foggy,
just want to
get it, okay?
Say, cut the soundboard stuff off. I mean, come on, man.
No!
You can only do it so many times and then it's not cool anymore.
No!
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
No! Yes.
I know. Foggy's probably not going to like me because of this, but...
End of story.
Come on, Foggy. You understand me, don't you?
I
mean,
do.
You only can do it like 50 times per episode. I think his finger probably is sore by the end of the show. I mean,
it's
you can't click the mouse that many times and not have carpal tunnel or something. Other than that, it's really, really good. I mean, they have a lot of useless knowledge.
But
guys like them and myself that watch a lot of movies and TV, and we have a lot of useless knowledge. But
yeah,
it really
does
come in handy once in a while when you're trying to do reviews like their show when they're... do little episodes of TV, they play a little clip, and then they either make fun of it or talk about it a little bit. They talk about latest DVDs that are coming out. They talk about new shows that are coming out. Usually, they tell you if
it
sucks or even if they went to it or not. I haven't listened to all the older shows, so I'm not quite sure where Steven and the Scientology thing comes in, but it's kind of a playoff of
Tom Scientology
and his psycho-Scientology stuff.
And
God help me, if Scientology wackos come... knocking at the front door. I think the pod squad will come get me before that. It's very entertaining. They talk about stuff. Vanessa does the news. Jay Strom is kind of, I don't know, he's kind of a preacher. Except for I think it's there to breathe heavily into the microphone and talk about Ron Scientology. Mulberry Bill. Hey man, Morgan is sweet. I gotta...
All right, Foggy.
Mulberry Bill has this fascination with zombies. Had some psycho call in because he made fun of the brown coat.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Jeez. All right.
Well, I heard pretty much none of that.
So what'd you think of that review,
Foggy,
guys?
Foggy, you rock.
I'm Foggy.
I guess this is Foggy's way of turning his, whatever you call it.
I think we all have the fascination with zombies, not just Bill.
Right. That was really cool of him.
But that was
from
funny.
What we
it
could
was really
hear.
Good.
Apparently Foggy took it personally, what he said. Did you?
I'm also, I'm very glad he told people that Mulberry isn't Mayberry.
Right.
You know, because people are confused about that for some reason.
I have no idea why. It's two different words. Mulberry, Mayberry.
Maybe they thought you did it just for
you know, that's possible.
Copyright.
Maybe so. Because when I first told my dad about our show, he's like, oh, okay, I'll do you like a theme, which is our Mulberry Ender, kind of like a little Mayberry-esque thing. And so he didn't get it either. So... Vanessa, wasn't it exciting to hear that?
I didn't hear it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now,
it was too many clips playing. I couldn't hear.
You know, Foggy. He just
got carpal tunnel on that. That.
Yeah, Foggy. Did you break your fingers doing that, or what? Is everything cool, or?
It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
All right, it's gold, Jerry. Hey guys, let's do some entertainment. What do you say? All right, guys. Entertainment this week. We've got a lot of shows to get to. But first, let's play a trailer to a new movie by Kurt Wimmer. Or is it Kurt? Is it Kurt Wimmer, Bill?
At this point, I could give a shit.
Is it like Wim Wenders?
Wim Wenders?
Wim Wenders or Wim Wenders? Or
let's just play the trailer and
audit
its horribleness.
Oh, God, don't
it's starring Mila Jovovich, star of Resident Evil. Oh, let's go ahead and play it.
Hello, my name is Violet. My name is Violet. I was born into a world you may not understand. Please start at the beginning. Everything changed when a government lab discovered a virus that caused genetic mutation. They used it to create faster and stronger soldiers. The problem was, we became a threat.
I want them hunted down and killed.
Get on the ground! On your knees!
We've managed to eradicate almost all of them.
Those of us that survived extinction started fighting back.
You are compromised, destroy.
Copy that.
They made her a weapon.
Killing is what I do. It's what I'm good at.
They made her a target.
The humans want me.
You jeopardize everything by coming here.
I don't have any place left to go, Garth. Besides, you have all my guns.
And in the final days of mankind's greatest war...
This is pure suicide.
No one but you could have put this up.
She will decide their fate.
Are you mental?
Come and get it.
Protection, disruption.
Why are you doing this?
Because I hate humans.
You used to be human.
But not anymore, right? I got sick and now I'm something worthy of extermination.
You won't make it out of this complex alive.
Watch me. My name is Violet. I was born into a world you may not understand.
Violet.
Now, I'll say this much from the trailer, is Kurt Wimmer apparently has a fascination with Mila Jovovich's ass. So that's a good thing. That's a selling point, you know?
Oh, gosh.
She's got some MAC-10s where blades pop out of them, which is...
sweet.
Even though the blade's longer than the gun is, I don't understand
that's
how
that... That's close combat. You run out of bullets.
Okay.
You don't have to throw the gun this time.
Yeah, you just... ting. Now, I'll say
I'll
this right away from it. It looks like Equilibrium,
good,
plot-wise. It looks like Equilibrium in a mall, though.
Has anybody seen Equilibrium besides us four?
Yes. Huge cult
following. I hope
following.
So. It's a good movie.
I understand it's a good movie. No, I'm just saying...
No, there's a cult following with it. I would say so. I would say not Joe Schmo.
That's what I'm saying. This is, you know... Pop culture-wise, it's not a pop, it's a subculture.
I think the trailer's made in a way like, hey, like Underworld, you might dig this. It's another chick kicking everyone's ass. Now, Bill, what do you say, well, why don't you like the way it looks?
It looks worse than Equilibrium did, and he had a smaller budget on that.
Oh, do you mean like the production values and sets and stuff?
The production value, the dialogue in the trailer,
you don't like when he says, are you mental?
Well, also, she got a virus, or she's bioengineered to change her clothes without changing them.
She's got the T virus.
She changes colors.
Exactly. She does.
Yeah, didn't you notice in the trailer she changed white to red to purple?
Well, I saw her clothes changing colors. I didn't know. I just thought that was like a fashion statement in the future.
No, like her hair changes.
Does she wear chiffon in there?
Where the hell is my chiffon?
It just looks really bad.
Did Kurt write it?
Kurt Wimmer had everything to do with it, I believe.
Okay, cool.
Now, I'll say this. Okay, I will see it based on Equilibrium. It looks okay. Mila Jovovich, she's not a great actress, but she's eye candy, I guess. I mean,
how is she eye candy?
I don't know.
She's got a big following. I mean,
she's
because she's not afraid to get naked in a movie. That's why.
Exactly. And she has no boobs.
She's pretty.
Well, I think what she had of boobs is in nipples. Those things are the size of friggin' thumb.
Like my body.
Okay. So does that
is
Bill?
That visual.
Mulberry Bill.
Now, Bill, do you think you're gonna at least download it off the internet, BitTorrent?
Yes. It's not. It's not worth the purchase. It's not worth the theater. But I will download it illegally for free.
Cool. I mean, that's what I'm asking, you know?
If I had a really good brother, he'd take me to see it.
Yeah.
Too bad
you don't have a good brother.
Exactly.
Struggling.
I'll go take you to see it. Stephen will. He has the ability to do
not
that.
Not being used to my ability.
That's enough with the movie. We'll talk about it more when it's closer to coming out. I think it's coming out in 2008, something like that. Is that right, Bill?
If it's Kurt Wimmer, I'm sure it is.
Kurt Wimmer?
It's not quite done yet.
He's American, though, so it's just Kurt Wimmer. All right, guys, let's get into What's on Your TiVo.
Leave my Scientologist brothers alone.
Bill, there's a show premiering this week starring Tom Cavanaugh from the show TV show Ed. Remember that?
One of the greatest shows ever.
Now, Bill got me into Ed. He told me I got to check it out when TBS started showing reruns. I never watched it when it first aired, but it was a great show.
Very good.
Fortunately,
is that the lawyer in the bowling alley or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. TBS stopped airing it, and it sucks. I can't see it. It's not on DVD or anything like that, but Tom Cavanaugh's got a new show on CBS this week called Love Monkey. Here's a clip.
Whatever I did, it was an accident. Unintentional. Didn't do it on purpose, promise.
The guys and I have been talking.
Oh, 7 scariest words I've ever heard.
Who are you, Rain Man? Is I even a word?
No, it's a conjunction.
That's what I thought.
It could be considered a pronoun because it does act as a
pronoun. That's it. No, I'm going to go with conjunction.
Hey, you know, I have to actually get to Wayne's gig, so can we wrap this up?
Right. No. All right, listen, here it is. You want your own label, right? We love the idea. We want to help. Now, I can't personally bankroll an entire label, but I will put up $1 to get you started, my man.
I've got an extra room in my office. It's yours if you want it now. I can get the word out at the paper. Any press you need. Any.
You cover sports.
And leisure.
Boys. Group hug.
All right. Sounds like a fantastic show. And program your TiVos. It comes on this Tuesday. You going to be checking that out, Bill?
Absolutely. I got to give anything with Tom Cavanaugh a chance. I just really enjoyed him in Ed.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's Canadian, and what more can be said after that? Now, the other day, I'm not really big into reality shows. You guys know that. I don't watch crap like Project Runway or any of that kind of stuff. I don't! It just happens on accident.
Whenever you can't reach the remote.
I was bedraggled.
I just wonder what was doing on that channel to begin with.
Project Greenlight. I thought that's what it said was on, but it's Project Runway. But they need to stop naming all their shows Project something. like Project X. That was a great show with monkeys. Now, okay, I was laying down on the couch the other day, and The Bachelor comes on. And that show is so, I don't watch it. It's like, you know, this guy who's all good looking and rich, and he's got all these women trying to get him to fall in love and then marry him at the end. And in previous season, this has never worked out, has it?
No.
Don't they always break
no.
up? But what I loved is this. What I saw before I actually crawled to the remote and changed the channel, there's a chick who called him on his BS and decided to just leave. Now, here's what happens.
I want to be a mom. Like, I want to have a picket fence.
When you're on the execution.
Totally.
I don't put the cart before the horse.
But yet, you are participating in this to find a significant other. Okay, have fun. Good
luck.
It
was nice to meet you.
He's so He's like every other stupid doctor I know. He's intimidated by another professional woman. Maybe I just won't date anybody anymore. Maybe I'll just join the convent.
Or don't go on TV to fall in love with someone. That's right, just my advice.
Doesn't this bother anybody else?
Attention whore alert.
Doesn't it bother anybody else, especially the guy on the show, that these women are only going after him because he has freaking money?
Hello?
I think the money is just the bonus. If the guy has any brains, he'll, you know, have a prenup, which will eliminate the possibility of them getting any serious amount of his money. But it has everything to do with them just being attention whores,
right,
and being on
television. It's about being on TV. They're not looking to be married and stuff. That chick maybe was, and she got out when she should.
Yeah.
But for her to expect the guy to go, hey, yeah, maybe we will have kids. I was like, what does she expect the guy to say? It's the first night, and there's all these beautiful women. Yeah, maybe I'll knock you up someday.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for, too.
Yeah.
I'm an automaton robot.
Now, Bill, this brings us to another reality show that I did not get to see, and that's Beauty and the Geek.
Okay, Beauty and the Geek from producer Ashton Kutcher.
Awesome.
Is a social experiment where they take like 8 geeks that are like super smart, MIT, you know, just really smart guys,
rocket scientists,
and
guys.
8 complete idiot broads that are gorgeous,
right?
And put them in a house together, and they team them up so that one can teach the geek about, you know, social skills, and the geek can maybe teach the dumb one about some, you know,
how to think,
how to add one and one.
Yeah, exactly.
Now these guys,
and, it's always entertaining. I watched it last season and absolutely loved it. So I was going to give it a chance again this season.
And the guys are huge dorks, right?
Oh, huge dorks.
And the women are hot and stupid, right?
Exactly. Now, it is a hilarious show, only because these guys are so hopeless and these girls are so stupid.
Now, Bill, do you think are any of the women faking being stupid?
No, because you can see in their eyes, they've all got that, like, deer in the headlights look. Like, there's nothing going on upstairs.
And they're like, they really do find good qualities out of the nerdiest guy. Like, oh, well, you know, he's really smart and it's impressive. Well, because there's one guy who is really weird, Asian guy who does the Rubik's Cube behind his back.
Yeah, he memorizes a Rubik's Cube and then does it behind his back. And all the girls were like, wow. And then they go up to the rooms, and he opens his suitcase, and there's like 3 shirts, 3 pants, and a bag of 5 Rubik's Cubes.
Now, I have...
The girls are like, what the hell do you need that for? And they like take it off of him. And he's really there to learn more about social skills and not being such a nerd.
But what's the big deal about being a geek, honestly?
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, I'm a geek?
No.
These are not geeks that...
locked in a basement playing on a computer, and that's the only
guy,
interaction
Vanessa,
they
this
get.
Guy carries Rubik's Cubes around with him, for Christ's sake. Here's a clip of him and the weird kind of math stuff he says to himself as he's doing it. Listen to this.
If you can always get one side, I'll be really proud.
If I do 6, 8, 9, 10, 30...
Now, if only we could harness
like
this power for evil.
Doing it behind his back, saying those numbers and stuff. like trying to.
Oh my gosh! That's awesome!
And he did it!
I've never seen anyone solve a Rubik's Cube, period. So for me to see someone do it without looking at it was phenomenal.
The funniest geek.
She obviously has not seen very impressive things in her lifetime.
The funniest geek in the house was this guy that was on like this major power trip. He writes his own shirts. Like, he came out with this shirt that said, "I put the stud in study." And he comes out in front of these beautiful women and goes, "I'm creative and I like to write greeting cards. Here's one that I wrote." And it says, "This is for my girlfriend that she would break up with me." And he goes, "I hope you're happy." And then he opens it up. And it says, "Because you ruined my life, you bitch." And he goes, okay. And he walks back in the room, and all the girls are like, "Oh my god."
So, do you recommend? I think Vanessa would really like this. She likes.
Oh, I think Vanessa would love it.
You like reality shows, Vanessa?
When does it come on?
What is it? Thursday nights after Smallville or something?
Yes, it comes on Thursday after Smallville, which would be 8 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, okay. 8 Central, so, 9 Eastern.
So put that on your TiVo, Vanessa.
Beauty and the Geeks, right?
Yeah,
Beauty and the Geek.
Okay, another show that came on this week was My Name is Earl. This one was about Earl apparently stole some guy's wallet and he could never go on his honeymoon. So Earl decides to give him back his honeymoon by filling in for him at a fast food restaurant, which I don't remember the name of the place. Do you, Bill?
I don't know if they ever really mentioned it.
But what was great is Jon Favreau plays his sadistic evil boss. What happens is...
But I love the Favreau.
It turns out that Jon Favreau, the boss, is doing all these horrible things. He's got a mistress. He's stealing money from work. And Earl doesn't understand why karma isn't kicking him in the ass after all this. He keeps doubting karma throughout the episode. And there's a great sequence where Joy shows up with Crab Man and the kids. And he's got his
free-range turtle.
His free-range turtle. And she doesn't want to pay for her food, so she says that she found a hair in it, a short mustache hair. So he makes Earl put a hairnet
and a
hairnet over his mustache. That was great stuff. And he makes Earl dress up like a hamburger, and he can't make...
balloon animals.
So he just hands him the balloon. What does he say?
"There's a prehistoric snake."
And he's like, "That's a Balloonosaurus Rex." Oh, yeah, that's a sequence right there. He says every job he's ever had, he ends up punching out his boss. They show this great sequence of him punching all the bosses he's ever had. So he's trying to keep from doing that. And finally he loses it, and he's doubting karma, and he doesn't understand why that happened. And let's play this clip here, Foggy, of what him and Randy talk about.
"Wish I could say something to make you feel better.
Well, I don't know what you can say, Randy. I started out trying to do something good and ended up getting a guy divorced and thrown in jail. I screwed up. That's all there is to it."
"Well, you said karma would get him eventually."
"I said karma, not my fist."
"But karma doesn't have fists."
"You know what? You're right. Karma doesn't have fists."
"Karma doesn't have hands at all. Or feet. Does karma have feet?"
"Maybe karma's behind this whole thing, Randy. I mean, the guy finally got what he deserved. Maybe karma just borrowed my fist to give it to him."
"Because karma doesn't have this."
"Wow, karma used me to do its dirty work. Nice move, karma. Nice move."
So he does punch the guy out, and he ends up getting divorced, and he goes to jail. And remember, he has this collection of mugs or whatever.
World's best mugs.
Yeah, he has a whole bunch of
mugs. When he's in jail, it's one of those tin mugs, and he has written on it, "World's Best Bottom."
Yeah. And you see the gross, disgusting, huge guy in the cell with him. That was a good Earl. Good Earl. Earl is always good. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes
love the free range turtle though.
Yeah. He's like,
"Hey, Crabman. Hey, Crabman's turtle."
What?
I like what Joy said. "First time that turtle begs at the table, he's out in the yard."
Yeah, begs at the table. Now, there was a great conversation with Earl and Randy at the end about the name William and Bill, and let's listen to that. Oh, they have a little rat named
Earl. "Bill, I saw that mouse again."
"Mouse.
Want me to try and get him?"
"No, I like him. I was thinking maybe we should name him, you know? That way he'd be our pet, not just a mouse."
"How about William?"
"No, I don't like William."
"Well, we could call him Bill for short."
"I never understood how Bill was short for William. If anything, Bill should be short for Billiam, you know?"
"It's true."
night, Earl.
Good night, Randy.
Good night, Billiam.
Billiam.
Now, Bill, have you ever gone by Billiam in your life?
I can't say that I have, but I have wondered that exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Weird.
It's like, short for William is Bill. It's like,
the one I don't get is Richard and Dick.
Yeah.
If you met them, you'd know. Yeah.
Now, this week was the return of Smallville.
Oh,
now,
and what a friggin' return it was.
Steven, did you get to see Smallville?
No.
All right.
Well, you know what, Steven? You didn't miss anything.
We'll fill you in on what happened. You know that Pa Kent is running for the Senate, right?
Yes.
And it's completely believable.
Yeah, they've already got it all worked out. You know that Lex is running against him, mm-hmm. and Lex doesn't want him to win, and he's got some kind of black manservant that does all of his dirty work for him. Am I right? What it turns out happening is he also has like these intern college students that are freaking psycho, or at least one of these chicks is. Where did this lady come from? All of a sudden she just shows up and he's got this psycho intern.
It's Smallville, Jason.
And she decides, let's go teach Pa Kent a lesson. So they take some baseball bats and beat the crap out of Clark's dad.
And then hang him upside down.
Yeah, and it looks like a dummy when they show him. It doesn't even look like the actor, John Schneider. It looks like a rubber dummy. Didn't that look like that to you?
It was a rubber dummy.
But the girl goes psycho, and she shaves her head just like Lex, and she kills her two little helpers, and she puts paper masks of Lex over their dead bodies, over their face, so there's these two dead guys with Lex faces, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And
this sounds excellent.
It was great, but a little subplot here is Lana's kind of upset with Clark because they haven't been doing it anymore. No more sex. And here's a conversation that Clark has with Chloe about, you know, little problems he's having with it.
Oh, I know you didn't come by this late at night just to drop off this press release. What happened?
Well, how far do you want to cross this friendship boundary?
Since when did we have boundaries? All right. Why don't you just leave out the details?
Well, everything was fine between Lana and I when I was human. I mean, it was great.
Okay, Clark.
But now that I have my abilities back, it's like our sex life has been on hiatus.
Oh. I know I'm going to regret asking this question, but, why?
Yeah, why?
Because it just takes some time for me to adjust my abilities to new situations.
Super sweet.
Wow.
Can we practice, Chloe?
Awkward factor 8. So basically what you're saying is that you're afraid that in the heat of the moment you might... Please don't make me finish this sentence, Clark.
Correctamundo!
Well, see...
Okay, fine.
That's the thing. I'm not sure what would happen. I mean, if I couldn't control myself.
Okay, you know what, Clark? Right there, that's something that can never be unseen.
It's not funny.
No, you're right, it's not. It's just that this conversation definitely cements me as your crypto hag. Look, Clark.
Crypto
you
hag!
You can shake my hand
without
crushing it,
right? It's a new TV show, spin-off!
And you don't exactly incinerate everyone you look at with your heat vision thing, so... pretty much the same thing, right? I mean, metaphorically.
So basically, he's afraid to have sex with Lana because he might
break
hurt her
pelvis.
Now, this reminded me of a conversation in a movie called Mallrats. We all know Mallrats. And let's listen to that. And this is exactly what Clark's going through.
But they're engaged.
Doesn't matter. It can't happen.
Why not? It's bound to come up.
It's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her fallopian tubes could handle his sperm? I guarantee he blows a load like a shotgun right through her back. What about her wound? Do you think it's strong enough to carry his child?
Sure, why not?
He's an alien, for Christ's sake. His Kryptonian biological makeup is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. If Lois gets a tan, the kid could kick right through her stomach. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid. The only way he could bang regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That would kill him.
That's right. Clark could get some kryptonite condoms, but it would kill him. Now, while all this is happening, this bald psycho chick goes and she forces Lois to get a sniper rifle and take out John Schneider. The episode even begins with where it shows her, she's getting the rifle, Lois Lane is, and she's got the scope and she's aiming it right on Jonathan Kent. And you're like, oh my god, what's going on? Then it's like 38 hours earlier. Every show does this. Even Battlestar Galactica did that.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it always 38 hours early or whatever? But it could have been that. I don't know. But anyway, it turns out she's just
Wouldn't
standing
it
behind
suck
her.
If 24 did that?
Yeah.
24 hours earlier. It's
like, you're somewhere in the middle of season 2.
And it just shows Jack Bauer snoozing in his bed. It's like, oh, so he was getting a lot of rest before the 24 hours of the next day began. So anyway, Lois, of course, kicks her ass or whatever, and it turns out that Clark's mom takes money from...
Lionel Luthor?
Lionel Luthor offers money to the Kent family to go up against...
his son.
But it's an indecent proposal. She has to spend one night with Lionel Luthor.
Exactly. And which, you know, why not? He's pretty good looking. He's got that nice... hair that's kind of layered like a wrestler or something. Wait, what the hell am I talking?
Flowing hair.
Right. The best part is when Lex shows up at his house and the bald chick is there naked and he's like, well, what do we have here?
Wow, no hair anywhere.
Exactly. So basically, I don't know what they were doing with Smallville over this hiatus, but they wrote this episode like the day before yesterday.
They had to have. It was so bad.
It was a really bad episode. And they kept showing the 100th episode's coming up and someone's going to die. So I think they were saving quality writing for this episode, I hope.
They had to.
No, they never really quality write any episode.
Now, let's go on to another show that's been on hiatus for a year, and that's Lost. I've got a super long encapsulated clip of what happened on Lost. Let's check it out.
So you're religious, huh? You should speak to Charlie. He doesn't want to admit he's religious, but he carries around a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Where did he find this?
He said he found it in the jungle.
Where in the jungle?
I don't know.
Where?
Look, what are you... It's just a statue.
Where is Charlie?
We're here. Found it right here, right by that tree.
You're lying.
You asked to see where I found it. This is where I found it. Well done. Have a nice hike.
Take me to the plane.
I was wondering if, you mind if I go instead?
You want my shift?
Help me take my mind off things.
Sure, it's all yours.
You need to get higher.
Wonderful.
Whoa!
Help! Run!
Finally, the creature shows up, Steven. Steven didn't see this guy, so he missed something incredible, didn't he?
Yes.
You missed out, Steven.
Damn. Still replayed it.
Hey, Michael.
They announced it'll never be reran.
Damn!
It's destroyed in a fire.
I've forgotten about Walt. I just want you to know that as soon as we can, we're going to figure out a way to go out and bring him back.
Yeah, we got Michael typing on the instant messenger again.
Well, I'll leave you to it then.
We've got Bill.
Thanks.
So... are you a priest or aren't you? Yes.
Now what happens, Stephen, is it turns out that the plane that crashed on the island last season contained his brother through a series of incredible events. Am I right, guys?
Yes.
Incredible events.
And he's with the others?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
But
he's one of the priests.
Basically... Mr. Echo is going through a time. He's changing. He's no longer a ruthless guy. He's now thinks of himself as a priest. He wants forgiveness.
He's been redeemed.
Right. He wants forgiveness from the Lord. Now, that part where the weird smoke creature shows up, did you guys think that he was telling Charlie to climb in the tree because he knew something was about to happen?
No.
Do you think it was just a coincidence that it showed up while Charlie was in the tree?
Yes.
Now, what do you guys think? Now, Stephen, what it is it smoke, that creature that you hear, the woo and all that stuff, and you hear mechanical sounds, but it's a puff of smoke that comes up to him. And Echo doesn't run or anything. He's not afraid. It just kind of envelops him, and you see these quick flashes. And the flashes are pictures of people in his life. At one, you can see his brother.
Oh, the LSD monster.
Yeah. Another, you can see, like, a woman or something. What do you
woman
guys think?
From the village. Then you could see the man that he shot in the head. Then you could see him holding his brother on the plane, or there was a couple different ones. It's like the creature, either the creature can read minds, or it already knows, and it's kind of confronting the person with their past sins.
Well, the sound of the creature reminded me of something, and I'm going to play a clip. You guys tell me if you think this reminds you of something.
Stephen, breathe it!
Either it's Steven on the island or it's a predator. What do you guys think? It is a tropical island.
I think it might be the predator god.
The god of predators. I was ready for... Oh, okay. I didn't realize we were here with royalty.
That's where he's traveling.
I was waiting for the cloud to give him like an old musket or something. But I guess he has to defeat a predator first. Now, I don't know what the hell... When I saw that and it was smoke and everything, I was like, what the hell? You know, a lot of their little mysteries can be explained kind of loosely explained, but this is smoke. Why does it sound mechanical? Why does it have, like, a lightning inside of it? Why does it show a slideshow of your family? Yes. Now,
Nanobots!
Yeah, nanobots! Oh, hot damn! That's what it is.
It's a cloud
of
nanobots.
It's a swarm of nanobots. And you know what? My wife's dad walked in right when that scene was happening. He's like, is that marijuana smoke?
No, he didn't.
He's like, yeah, he's rocking the ganj. That's what they see. Speaking of rocking the ganj, apparently Charlie is hoarding heroin on the island. What the hell's that about? It turns out at the end that Mr. Echo gives him Mary statues, and it, you know, we know it has heroin in it, and he gives it to him, kind of his payment for taking him, because he broke his one earlier. And later it shows him sticking it in a little stash, and he's got, like, what, about 30 of them or something?
I would say maybe 10.
So, basically, he's got a lot of heroin if he ever needs it.
That's a great thing.
Charlie's got a bit of a problem. He's a dink.
Didn't you think it was weird that Claire just kicked him out of her life so quick?
Well, I would, too. Guy's a heroin addict. He has heroin on him.
But you weren't sure if he's been doing it, though.
He's waiting to find the needle.
Do you guys... Yeah. He's like, I'll use a needle, and I'm fixed. Now, do you guys think that Charlie has been doing drugs this whole time, or do you think he's just waiting to maybe start again?
Maybe it's just a comfort to have it around.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's just, he's... Like, he said he was holding the statue close to him, kind of like comfort, that he has it in case he decides, hey, I'm going to start doing drugs again.
Hey, I want to OD. I want out of here.
Yeah. Now, with every episode of Lost comes a stupid Lost theory. A stupid Lost theory. What is wrong with Vanessa?
I think she's been on the gone.
Vanessa, do you have a little Mary statue next to you that's been shattered recently?
You said there's usually a stupid lost theory. A stupid lost theory?
Hey, I know what I did. Do you guys think Vanessa's drunk?
Something's going on there.
She's on something.
She's on happy pills. Woo!
Sorry.
No problem, Vanessa. But you know what? It's okay, because I have quite simply probably the greatest loss theory ever.
Exit, double quick time, stage right.
I'm kidding, of course. It's a crappy theory, and that is Michael is down with the sickness. He's actually not chatting with anyone on the computer. It's all in his mind. He has somehow attracted the sickness running around the jungle, and he's going to kill everyone on the island. At least because of the sickness. Well, do you guys think that he's really talking to anyone on that computer?
Sure.
I don't know.
The message just disappeared miraculously when he's typing to Walt, and it says, "Dad, you need to come," and it just like
it disappears.
Cuts away. No, it cuts away because Jack walks in. And then when Jack kind of looks at the screen, everything's gone. He's just kind of sitting there kind of suspiciously. I think it's all in his head. He's not talking to anyone.
Could be.
Yeah, there's a good possibility of it.
What's weird also, it showed scenes next week where Michael goes nuts and runs off with a gun, apparently, into the woods. And everyone goes to find him. And you see these torches light up. And you hear someone say, "This is our island," or something like that. Which every preview to Lost for the next week is totally out of context and just meant to totally cheat.
They always do that.
But the voice of the guy who says that sounds like the guy who says "previously on Lost." You know, it's a voice of some guy who's not even on the show. It sounds like. Have you guys?
Is it the guy that says "previously on Lost"? That it's either Ken Olin or the guy that used to be on Wings.
Oh, Tim Daly.
Tim Daly.
It's possible. Now, I know that's a really bad, stupid Lost theory, but, you know,
it's actually not that bad. Maybe he's delusional. Maybe he's going loopy from Walt not being around.
Now, if he has contracted the sickness or the illness, when did he get it? Do you think it's when he was off in the jungle by himself before...
on the other side of the island.
Yeah, before Jin and Echo found him. Because he was by himself for a while, and they didn't show him. And
there's a good chance of it. Nobody knows how it's... spread.
Yeah.
And another thing is Mr. Echo, when he came in contact with the cloud, him and Locke are the only two guys who've come in contact with it and haven't been afraid of it.
Yeah.
So what's that about? They're kind of flip sides of the same coin, I've said before, just to sound kind of cool, but they are very similar where they're men of faith.
They've seen and experienced enough in their lives to be able to face it.
Exactly. And that's all we have on the subject until another episode of Lost. Well, guys, screw Lost, because we have Battlestar Galactica. All right, we know the end of last week's episode had Adama telling Starbuck to plug Kane in the head with a gun, and we had Kane telling her EXO, you know, board Galactica and take out the command. And in this one is going on a mission where they're going to take out the resurrection ship. And I got to say right now, the footage of that scene is some of the best effects I've ever seen on a TV show.
It is.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I really love the way they have the Vipers flying through it, like they're flying sideways.
And then they flip sideways and just start shooting.
It's like, because in space there really is no up, down, left, right, north, south. You know, everything is, you know, so I just love the way it's more realistic. And the explosions were muffled. But
yeah, you
really
notice there's no sound. There was no sound in space. Yeah. But another thing is... it's Apollo in the stealth ship, and he takes out the FTL drive, and then he runs into something. Something collides with him, and he has to eject, and he's just floating in space, kind of peaceful and calm, and he can see the battle in the background happening as he's floating there, and you pretty much think he's going to die because he's got a leak in his suit, but he ends up getting rescued. And then later on, you know, he's telling Starbuck, you know, about that. That he didn't want to get rescued. He's just ready to die at that point. You know, they are under a lot of stress, like every day.
Do you think he wanted to die because he didn't believe in his father anymore for wanting to kill the Admiral?
It's
possible. I think he wanted to die because it was so peaceful.
Right.
And for once in his life, there was no war.
And it was completely quiet.
Well, I understand. I mean, but because of all the other stuff behind
that,
well, it
was peaceful.
Right.
Well, definitely. I'm sure that plays into it. Like, will they ever be safe in this world they're in?
Right.
No, they'll never be safe because it was summed up whenever Dama was talking to the Cylon Boomer.
Right, and he asked her,
why do they hate us so much?
Yeah, why do you guys hate us so much?
It's because they're a flawed race.
Well, I have to say that was probably the best episode to date.
Right, and here's a good scene of Starbuck talking to the militant lesbian Kane.
I know you're very close with Adama.
Yes, sir.
And I know he's a good man. And I know he's had to make some very hard choices over the last few months. Lord knows I have.
Well, then maybe you can understand why he did what he thought he had to do when you said you were going to execute Hilo and Tyrell.
Let me tell you something.
Whoa.
I've had to watch a lot of kids be put into body bags. They're covered with flags and they float out that airlock. You think I don't understand his feelings towards his men?
Bill, do you still think she's
sometimes
a lesbian?
Sometimes terrible things have to be
absolutely
done.
Absolutely.
Was she getting ready to get it on with Starbuck, do you think?
I had that feeling. There was a bit of tension.
Inevitably, each and every one of us will have to face a moment where we have to commit that horrible sin. And if we flinch in that moment, if we hesitate for 1 second...
Right. Don't ever
let our conscience get in the way. You know what happens?
Don't let your conscience bother you about...
There are more kids in those body bags.
Was anybody else...
More kids floating out that airlock.
That mole she has on the side of her face?
No, I don't know.
I was staring at it quite a bit. And that's what Starbuck was staring at during the whole scene. She wasn't listening to a word she said. She's like, God,
and I want you to
thing.
Promise me.
It's a talking
I
fairy.
Think there's a moment.
When that
here.
Moment comes, you won't flinch.
Don't flinch.
Do not flinch.
Tyrell and Hilo got a code red in this episode. They got beat with soap in the towel. Did you guys think that they were going to get raped?
Did you order the code?
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. Those two guys that came into the, you know, the cell was, they were awfully,
they
were
very sadistic.
I think it was the ambiguously gay duo. They kept sniffing the soap like they were getting ready to wash their butt.
They reminded me of the scary guys in Shawshank Redemption.
I'm going to stick this bar in your mouth so you don't scream when I'm getting it.
I think Vanessa is on some.
It does. It sounds like she's named.
Sorry.
You're sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I only had one big problem with the episode. And I think it's significant.
Oh, Billy.
I'm really tired of, I don't know who it is that's running the show, that Ronald Moore, sci-fi, whatever. They waste almost 3 minutes recapping when there could be so... They could just start the episode.
Oh,
we don't need a three-minute recap.
You mean the previously on
Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, it's just 45 seconds long. I timed it.
I did. This was the only one where I was like, why are they showing us this? And it was when six...
It's part two of an episode that everyone's already seen.
Right.
You don't need to see what happened.
That could be a network thing. Like, you gotta have a recap in case people want to jump onto our show and start...
They're
you
just
know.
Wasting... They're wasting 3 minutes of time that could be used in the story.
Right, I agree. It becomes gratuitous. I mean, if it was just a few moments, but this was a long one. Now, another thing is there is a scene with Gaius Baltar and Gina.
The captured Cylon?
Right. And
it looks like Six?
Yeah, it looks like Six. Here's a scene...
Now, I didn't...
Oh,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and play the scene. I'll talk about it after.
Okay.
And you are Gina?
Gina! Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Look, I'm gonna be real honest with you. It's been a long time since I've been with a man. Spent a lot of time with the ladies. Looking to get back up on that pogo stick. You know what I'm saying?
Foggy, that's the wrong Gina clip. That's Gina. Yeah, what were you going to say, Bill, about Gina and Baltar?
Dear Lord. You know, that kind of negates anything I was
going to
say.
That totally takes away. I do have... Okay.
What I wanted to know was during the conversation between Baltar and Gina...
Yes.
When he was talking to her like Six talked to him, and Six all of a sudden like disappeared.
Right.
Did Gaius turn off Six in his mind?
I think so. Gone? Do you realize he?
Yeah, because now he has a real Six, not just the imaginary.
He used the words that she used on him.
Yeah.
On Gina, he basically was transferring the power from Six that she has over him to himself over Gina. I felt. Now she
whatever you just said, I agree with.
Right,
I,
now
it went over my head.
Now she is kind of his servant. Now what happens is the op goes through fine. They blow up the resurrection ship, and you're not sure what's going to happen. Are they going to go through it? Is she going to kill Kane? And here's what happens.
Signal from the flagship, sir. Admiral Kane on the line.
Put it through.
They got cool space sounds on the ship.
Congratulations, Commander.
Congratulations to you too, Admiral. Significant victory. Is Starbuck with you?
Yes, she is.
What's gonna happen?
I don't know.
Code Red. Beat her with soap.
I've been thinking about what
we talked about before.
Execute lesbian party.
Oh, he said Vanessa off again.
It's not enough to survive. One has to be worthy of surviving.
Who's that laughing in the background on the deck of the Galactica? That's Duala back there. She's drunk.
I'm sorry.
I think that's very wise.
I'm sorry. Didn't you know that they're herding space hyenas now?
So he calls it off. But you're like, oh crap, now Kane is going to go through with it, kill everybody.
Because she's a militant lesbian.
Very militant.
Commander, I wanted my ex-man standing close by.
Look at my berry!
Must talk to her, Exo. A lovely man he is.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
So basically, they both call it off until Gina escapes. Well, she escapes.
With the help from Gaius.
Gaius, of course. Do you think he thought she was going to knock the guard out, not snap his neck?
Well... Women do tend to go to the extreme sometimes.
Well, that gives, I guess, Baltar an excuse.
Right, and she should have punched him or something or whatever. But what ends up happening is she goes back to Kane's quarters. Kane goes back. She's cleaning up. She's taking her outfit off. And all of a sudden, Gina is there with a sidearm. Now, what did she say to her? Did she say beg or now it's
I
time
can't
for
remember.
You to
yeah, can you set up and beg you? Now?
And she goes, frack you. And then basically...
blows them all up.
What happens after that is her XO becomes captain of the... or commander of the Pegasus. And then apparently Gina disappeared after that. She's on another ship. You'd think they could find her sweeping the place. But remember, Gaius said that he could keep her safe. What ship does he have? I guess we'll find out soon. Now, also, there's a touching scene with Roslyn, the president... and Adama, and she promotes him to Admiral. Sweet sound effect there, Foggy. Hey, Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
I surely am.
Let's do it.
please.
Reality TV, they are not. But two hit shows are so...
All right, thank you.
Okay, let me start over. Reality TV, they are not. But two hit shows are so convincing as imitations of life in the criminal justice system that some legal experts worry they're distorting the expectations of real jurors. The Funny you say that. The influence of the CSI crime scene investigation and Law and Order franchises has permeated American law. Lawyers ask would-be jurors whether they watch the shows and then change strategies depending on the answers. Law schools maintain video libraries of the programs as teaching tools and even analyze the plot lines in class. Which side benefits the most, prosecutors or defense attorneys? It's debatable. While Law and Order glamorized prosecutors, CSI can set standards for infallibility of forensic evidence that prosecutors can't often meet. A science-solves-all formula that millions of viewers may bring to the jury service.
My God.
So basically what it's saying is that CSI makes jurors believe that the forensic evidence is perfect.
Right. You know, it also,
and they're stupid.
But also it makes them think they're smarter than they really are.
Right. Like there's so many, there's just like within a matter of a couple of days, bam, they've got all the evidence and it's infallible.
Right.
So.
One thing that I know is fake on a lot of shows is DNA. You know, they go, get this to me by 3 o'clock. Doesn't it take like a month to get DNA results or something?
Well, they have
no,
them
I think
at least
it's 24 to 48 hours at least. Because when they do the,
The
Jerry Springer type shows where they're finding out who the baby's father is, you know.
Baby's daddy.
I don't watch that kind of stuff, so.
I think anyone that watches CSI or Law & Order should not be allowed on jury duty.
You know what? If that is true, I will start watching just so I don't have to do jury duty. No, hey,
what are you talking about? You watch friggin' Law & Order like a religion.
Yes, I do. SVU, Mariska Hargitay, she's a very good actress.
Okay.
Emmy-worthy.
Eminem is taking a second trip down the aisle with Kimberly Mathers Saturday in a suburb of their hometown of Detroit, Michigan. The couple arrived at famous Meadowbrook Hall Museum in Rochester Hills separately, the groom riding in a black limo and a bride in a white limo. They said their I do's just after 5 p.m. in an intimate sunset ceremony in front of family and friends.
Their I do's?
Yeah, I do.
I heard that her bridesmaids were the two shit hoes.
Their daughter Haley was one of the bridesmaids. The tumultuous twosome applied for a marriage license this past Thursday in Macomb County. Eminem, whose real name is Marshall Mathers III, and Kim married the first time in 1999 and divorced in 2001 following a nasty custody battle involving their daughter.
So let's get remarried. That'll take care of it.
Yep, honey, I love you so much after writing a song about how much I hate you and want to kill you. Yeah. Let's get married again.
Apparently she forgave him about that.
The central Ohio city of Westerville, once known as the dry capital of the world, is dry no more.
All right.
I wonder where I live.
A pizza parlor on Thursday became the first establishment in Westerville's uptown business district to legally serve a beer since 1875.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Is this one of those towns where everyone has shotguns?
No.
Frightening!
Well, in Westerville's temperance history dates back 131 years when the town saloon was blown up during what's known as the Whiskey Wars. The Anti-Saloon League moved its headquarters to Westerville in 1909, and the city became known as the dry capital of the world. Business and city leaders pushed for the serving of alcohol in uptown establishments as a way to compete with restaurants and bars at two retail developments near Columbus suburb. Well, the voters, November 8th, approved licenses for beer and wine to be sold at Michael's Pizza and Pascal's Pizza and Pasta, whose owner plans to start serving libations February 1st.
Wow. Now, is there a reason they decided to do this other than to get wasted?
Yeah, money. Westerville goes through money like shit through a goose.
I'm so wasted!
Nice metaphor.
How colorful.
How about Grant through Richmond?
Hey, that's a good one.
All right, Minnesota voters, who 8 years ago elected a former professional wrestler as their governor, may find a self-proclaimed vampire on the ballot for the office.
Sweet Lestat!
Politics is a cutthroat business, said Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey, who said he plans to announce his bid for governor Friday on the ticket of the Vampires, Witches, and Pagans Party. Like Jesse the Body Ventura, who was elected governor as an independent in 98, the 41-year-old Sharkey once was a wrestler, although he spent his time the unholiest of kings tarantula on obscure professional circuits.
Does that suck?
I'm a Satanist who doesn't hate Jesus. I just hate God the Father.
Oh yeah, let's get him then.
Yeah, he's very electable.
Yeah, he said he plans to announce his candidacy yesterday, Friday the 13th, because that was his lucky number.
This is just a shtick. He doesn't want to win anything. He wants his name in the papers, and he's doing just that.
What the hell is wrong with people?
Is he an attention whore too, Bill?
Yeah, look at me. I'm a Satanist.
No.
Exactly. It's all just he's getting press, and reporters should ignore him.
Finally, suppose you could erase bad memories from your mind.
Sign me up.
Suppose, as in a recent movie, your brain could be wiped clean of sad, traumatic thoughts. That is science fiction, but real
world. That is Scientology as well.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
But real world scientists are working on the next best thing. They've been testing a pill that, when given after a traumatic event like rape, may make the resulting memories less painful and intense.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
Will it work? It's too soon to say. Still,
those damn psychotropic drugs.
Can I say this right now? No, it won't work. It'll cause brain damage.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, it's just, I can understand wanting to lessen the impact of a terrible event, like being raped or anything like that.
Right.
But a lot of times those things happen and they actually strengthen a person.
I agree.
Things that happen in your life shape who you are. Now, if you turn out to be a person like that Sharky guy, maybe you should.
Yeah, exactly. But it's
that's great, Larry.
That it's not far-fetched to think that this drug someday may be passed out along with blankets and food at emergency disaster shelters.
Hey, just forget how this happened. Okay, keep on going. Keep the line going.
This is what got me. After a tsunami or a hurricane like Hurricane Katrina. Well, the psychiatrist Hillary Klein could have offered it if the man she treated at St. Louis shelter over the Labor Day weekend. He had fled New Orleans and was so distraught over not knowing where his sisters were that the other had to tell him what was happening.
Wow.
He couldn't even give his name. He was in so much distress. And they're hoping that if it works, that they could give it to soldiers who have just been through battle, you know, for post-traumatic stress disorder. But, you know, they say
if I was a soldier, I'd tell them to cram it up their ass with friggin' Kool-Aid. I ain't drinking that shit.
You know what? Hollywood could do this, too. Man, that movie sucked. How about this little pill? Forget you were ever here.
Exactly.
And we still get to
hand
keep
it to
your
you
money.
On the way in or way out.
And on the way out, you're like, I
loved
movie.
Speed Zone.
I'm very hurt.
And that's all I've got for the news.
All right, thanks a lot, Vanessa. Let's step on over to Bill's historical library and see what he has DVDs this week.
Cue that jazz music, baby. Yeah, let's talk some DVDs. Get your coffee. Get your cigarette.
Those shiny discs filled with movies. Cinema magic, if you will.
Movie love.
All right, Bill.
Glittering magical discs of death.
Death?
I'm sorry.
Those are shurikens. Shurikens.
You dudes get lost now here.
All right.
No, it's the things that the spaceman shoots out of his arm, and I come in peace.
All right, Bill.
Death by stereo.
Oh, hell yes.
Death by stereo.
When I was a kid, growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, we had a lot of drive-in movie theaters. There was, I think, a handful of them that you would choose to go see. And, like, you know, you got the awful sound, you know. Eventually they upgraded it to go through the stereos. But
right.
I got something to say, people. Have any of you been to a drive-in movie theater as a kid, as an adult?
Yes.
Of course. Yes.
How much fun was it just to go? You know, put a blanket out, lay, watch them and all this. It was just, it was magical as a kid because it was just fun. It was cool.
It was
and
awesome.
Now, and here, they're closing the last drive-in movie theater in Mulberry.
Aww.
It's a sad, sad day.
That's Makeoutville, man.
Oh my gosh. Does that suck?
And
yes,
I was just
does.
Wondering, you know, if any of our listeners remember going to drive-ins, having fun. You know, go to the forum and let's start a new thread about the sex you've seen at drive-in movie theaters.
Many of us were conceived there.
The movies you've seen.
Suck on this.
The times you've had. I just think it's a really sad time that all these drive-in movie theaters are closing down. It's finally come to, like, the end of an era, and I was just wanted, you know, people post on the forums, let's talk about it. Yeah. Yeah, it does make you feel old.
Our kids are never going to know what a drive-in, our kids.
But the main reason I bring up the whole drive-in movie theater, it has to do with one of the first movies I saw at a drive-in movie theater, and it's
Roll Down.
Good Morning Vietnam. Is coming out in a special edition on DVD.
Oh.
It came out early in the cycle of DVDs. These DVDs are for January 17th, 2006. But anyways, this is the DVD, Good Morning Vietnam. It's coming out in a great special edition finally.
I've never seen it.
I love this movie. Maybe it's because I was a kid when I first saw it. Or not really a kid, but you know, an older kid when I first saw it. And it just kind of stuck in my mind. And it's finally coming out in an anamorphic widescreen edition with
Watch out for snakes!
Sound. So that's, I think people that are fans of the movie are going to want to pick it up because it's cheap. It's running about $15.
You know,
and it's got some extra footage on there, too.
Well, yeah, it's got extra footage, a production diary. It looks like it's going to be a promising edition.
A lot of us complain about special editions not being available right away. But it does make it special when, like, years down the line, some movie that you love comes out with this great edition.
Yeah,
sure. The wait is worth it a lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
The Star Wars, because that was one of the first movies I saw on the drive-in.
God, that took forever to come out. Am I right?
Yeah, but even now that it did come out, it's not how we remember it. It's not how we loved it.
They need to get out.
We won't even get into that.
But, yeah. That was some of my early drive-in was Star Wars, Superman, Jaws.
All
I think the DVD I think I was the most happy about when it came out was The Goonies. Because it had this beautiful anamorphic widescreen. And then the best thing about it was they did what they did with the Mallrats DVD and that they did a video commentary so you can see them at this
table
talking while the movie's on in like the bottom corner.
I was just going to say I have this memory of Jason just absolutely loved that movie. We went and saw it in the theater, you remember?
Vanessa.
Access denied.
And Goonies was an amazing movie, especially for the ages we were at.
Right.
I remember when it hit.
We
when
were
it
the
hit
right
VHS,
age.
I every time my mom and I, anytime I would go with my mom to the grocery store, I would immediately go to the VHS rental and make my mom rent the Goonies. It was like I had to watch it once a week. I loved it so much.
Brain.
Yeah, you had to get those clear plastic, you know, things at the grocery store.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs do you have that are coming out this week?
Yeah, another Robin Williams classic. Now, this is before Robin Williams turned into a parody of himself with, you know, Patch Adams and Jacob the Liar and all that horse
Donner
shit.
Party, you fine!
Yeah. So, Dead Poets Society, the movie he should have won the Oscar for originally in, God, what year was that? It was a long freaking time ago.
You know, that was one of those movies where the guy from RoboCop was a total dick.
Yeah, wasn't it Peter Weir?
Kurtwood Smith is the actor.
Kurtwood.
Yeah, Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, Peter Weir directs it. He's
Peter Weller is the guy from RoboCop.
Peter Weir. That's what he's talking about.
You know what I'll say about Peter Weir, though? The director never directed a bad movie. And
I can't say that either.
Never.
Yes, you can.
What?
Yes, he has directed probably one of the worst movies ever.
What?
Green Card.
Oh, he didn't direct that.
Yes, he directed and wrote it.
Get out of here.
I am 100% freaking serious. I know this for a fact, because after I saw Green Card, I went...
Everyone is allowed one bad movie.
I will never forget the fact that when I saw Green Card, I thought it was the worst thing ever. With
you can't handle the truth!
Freaking beast, the French beast, Gerard Depardieu.
Bigger, Will Robinson. Danger.
I thought the friggin' Yeti crawled out of the mountains with the
I will say that, okay, he usually does great movies, but that one, it was probably like a studio picture. He wanted to get out of his contract. He had one more film to do, and he probably did that just to get out of it.
He's got enough good movies under his belt. You know, Mosquito Coast, Witness, Gallipoli, You're Living Dangerously, you know, stuff like that. Good,
Fearless with Jeff Bridges.
Fearless, The Truman Show, most recently Master and Commander. But anyways, but we've got Dead Poets Society coming out. It's got some really good features on it. It's got a commentary with Peter Weir, cinematographer John Seale, and writer Tom Schulman. It's got all kinds of little looks back and all that. It's in anamorphic, nice, widescreen, and Dolby Digital 5.1. And it's only $15. I'm shocked that these Robin Williams films are only $15 for what's on them. All right, here's an important film. This film will make your blood boil. I saw it last year at the independent theater down the road. Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room.
Crickets.
Crickets. It's basically, it's just the inside story of how this company fell in on itself.
Right. I've heard all about it. It is supposed to be very fascinating. And if Vanessa can sit through something like The Staircase, she can watch this.
Oh, don't even remind me of The Staircase.
Oh, did you see it?
What was that, like 12 hours?
Yeah.
Whether some guy pushed his wife down the stairs?
Right.
Well, it was
PC load letter? What the fuck does that mean?
I just thought it was interesting the way you can see the legal system work.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. If you can sit through that, then you can sit through this, and you could enjoy it.
Okay, here's a movie that no one saw.
All right.
Nicolas Cage, Jared Leto, and Ethan Hawke in Lord of War.
Huh?
Yeah. This is the movie that Nicolas Cage plays an arms dealer.
Didn't
in.
It come out like 3 weeks ago in the theater? And now
wait, The Lord of War! I know what this is because it had one of the coolest posters I've ever seen, and that was Nicolas Cage's face just done with bullet casings. I thought it was really cool looking.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was reminiscent of The Truman Show, which was also a movie written by Andrew Niccol. And another one of the best movies ever written by Andrew Niccol, Gattaca.
Oh, okay. Gattaca, great movie. Battlestar
Gattaca.
Gattaca
is one of the best science fiction movies of the past 10 years.
Gattaca! Gattaca! Oh, sorry.
So, Lord of War is coming out in 3 editions. Full screen. Widescreen. Yay! And widescreen special edition with commentary, feature about being inside the international arms trade, and of course making of and deleted scenes, and it also has a DTS ES-61 track on it.
Nice.
So
I'm there.
With all the guns and explosions in this movie, should be good. I haven't seen it, but I'm looking
now,
forward
can
to
I
it.
Ask you this, Bill, has it gotten good reviews?
Yeah, a lot of people liked it. I know it got 2 big thumbs up from Ebert and Queerbait.
All right.
Okay, last movie coming out on DVD for January 17th is a independent film I saw last year called June Bug, with the most notable name is this young actress named Amy Adams. It's about this married couple that comes back to basically the country to this guy's family, and just the way this girl, this city girl, interacts with this hillbilly family, and it's really charming and really well acted. I really recommend it to anybody who's just a fan of films.
Right, I've heard of it, and it sounds good.
You condescend me.
I have heard of it, just like that.
Want to mention one film, though.
Okay.
That is already out on DVD. I watched it last night at like 3 in the morning because I couldn't sleep.
What would
called,
that be, Bill?
Me and You and Everyone We Know. It's written and directed by this performance artist named Miranda July, and stars, I think his name's John Hawks. He plays Sol Star on Deadwood.
Right.
And it's just this really, I hate to use the word quirky, because it's so cliched, you know?
Right.
But it's just this really original film.
Well, that's great, Larry.
These people's lives, the single father with 2 sons, newly single father with 2 sons, and the son's dealing with being in a new environment and just the people around them. It really is everyone we know, you know, but it just deals with these people's lives. And you know, it's only 90 minutes, and I was sitting there watching it, and I knew it was only 90 minutes, and I knew it was almost over, but I had to check my watch to see if it was, because I didn't want it to end. It's just one of those movies that's just really enjoyable just to sit down and watch, and after you watch it, you're just kind of like, huh, that was interesting, but shut up. But after you just kind of let it stew in your mind for a while, It really sticks with you, so I recommend it. It's called Me and You and Everyone We Know.
Cool.
Steven, stop snoring.
You are, Steven. You can't hear yourself, but we can.
I can hear it, too.
Steven?
Not that boring.
Come on, breathe,
Steven. I wasn't. I was listening to you.
All right.
There he is.
Is that it, Bill?
Yeah, that's it, guys. I'm done boring you. I'll shut up now.
Oh,
he was listening, but he was just breathing loud.
Just
it sounded like
loud.
A snore.
No, I was actually sitting here listening, Bill. Sorry.
I'm going to go cry.
I wasn't trying.
All right, Bill, thank you for the DVDs of this week. It's a disaster.
I'm not supposed to be crying. Jesus.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to episode 20. I'd like to thank Steven, Bill, and Vanessa for joining me this week on our labor of love, which is Nowhere in Mulberry. We talk about all of our favorite things. If you have anything to say to us, go to nowhereinmulberry.com.
We dare you.
Right. If you want to talk about how Steven breathes over the entire show. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, go to 1-206-202-3491. Go send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. You know, just tell us what you're watching. No one has ever said, hey, guys, I
check
TiVo
this
show every week. You guys never talk about it.
Yeah, we got to do all the work.
Yeah. Come on. If we're not watching something like Injustice with Kyle MacLachlan, which is a great show.
And we're not going to start watching it.
Yeah. If you want to talk about 24.
In the arms of an angel.
Bill, do you realize tomorrow, which is Sunday, 24 premieres? So next week's show, we're going to have 24.
Just the 20... Jack Bauer Power Hour.
All right, but
gravitas.
You know, of course, next week we'll have BSG Talk Lost, but we'll also have 24. We keep adding more and more shows to our TiVo list, so the show will get longer and longer
and more boring.
Hey, never boring, always exciting. Exciting, I tell you. Gold, Jerry.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Shit hose.
Now this is podcasting.